Welcome to this real-time training course on Amstrad's CPC 6128 computer. The 6128 may be less expensive than the big office machines, but it's far from being a toy. In fact, the 6128 is a powerful and versatile computer that you can use for anything from playing games to writing programs or solving business problems. In this course, we can't hope to cover all the things you might want to do with a computer, but we will be concentrating on the more serious applications rather than just playing games. Now, I have to assume you've never used the Amstrad 6128 before. So if you've already started, or if you've used a different machine, you may find the first few minutes of the course familiar. If this is your first time with an audio training course, I'm sure you'll find it both useful and enjoyable. Just listen carefully to my explanations and carry out my instructions just as you would if I was sitting next to you. And please, if I go too fast, stop the tape. Don't let me run on ahead. If you want to hear a section again, just rewind the tape a little way, then replay it. Okay, let's get started. You should be sitting in front of your computer system. You need to have the three cables from the screen to the computer all connected together. The connectors will only fit one way round, but check with your manual if you need to. The computer should be plugged into the mains ready to go, but leave it switched off until we're ready. Stop the tape now if you need to get ready. That tone was our stop cue, and you'll hear it whenever I want you to stop the tape to do something on your own. Of course, you can stop the tape any time you like if I go too fast for you or if you want to hear something again. Let's get the 6128 powered up and ready to go. Switch on at the mains. Now press the power button on the bottom right of the screen. Finally, switch on the computer itself. The switch is at the back on the right, next to the connecting cables. If everything is okay, a number of things will happen. First, the power indicator on the computer will indicate red. Secondly, the indicator on the disk drive comes on. And thirdly, some writing will appear on the screen, starting with Amstrad 128K microcomputer and ending with ready. Underneath that is a square block, the cursor, which tells you where you are on the screen. You may need to adjust the controls on the monitor to get the best display, especially if you have a color screen. If you haven't got that ready message, stop the tape and work through the power on sequence again. Let's take a closer look at the computer keyboard. If you've used a typewriter before, you'll be familiar with the letter keys, starting Q, W, E, R, T, Y, and so on, in the top left. And that's why it's sometimes called a QWERTY keyboard. On the right, you'll see some keys labelled F0, F1, and so on. These are the function keys, which are all set up to do a special task, depending on what you're doing with the computer. Just below them is a group of keys with arrowhead symbols, which are used to control the cursor on screen. Press the key on the bottom right and watch the screen. And you see the cursor move to the right. Now press the return key, and the cursor moves down a line and back to the left margin. There are some other special purpose keys, but I'll talk about them when we need them. Okay, back to that screen. The word ready tells you that the 6128 is ready to accept your instructions in the programming language BASIC, which is probably the most popular language for small computers. Now, in this course, I can't hope to tell you all about BASIC. We'll come back to it later in the course. But before we leave this screen, I'll get you to try something. Type in the word print, P-R-I-N-T, then tap the long space bar to make a space. And now, an opening quotation mark. Let's hold down the shift key and press the number 2 in the top row. Now type your name, and finally another quotation mark. That's print quote, your name, quote. If you've made a mistake, use the key marked DEL for delete and retype it. And now watch the screen and press return. And your name appears on the next line, followed by another ready message. You've just typed in and run a program, which tells the computer to print, or show on screen, whatever appears between the quotation marks. Now that's obviously a very simple program, and to write really useful ones can take hundreds or even thousands of hours. Writing programs is certainly interesting, and often fun, but it takes time to master. Most people want the computer to do something right away, and that's where games or other programs on disk come in. Someone else has done all the hard work, and all you need to do is load them up and run them. As I promised, we'll come back to BASIC later. But for the next session, we'll be looking at some programs provided on disk, which will help with the day-to-day running of your 6128. For this first session, you'll need a number of different disks ready. Check you've got them. You need the disk supplied with the 6128 labeled CPM Plus. It's side one of your master disks. You also need the disk labeled Training Disk that's supplied with this course. You'll also need three brand new disks and a pencil and some paper. In the first two sessions, we'll be concentrating on CPM, what it is, what it does, and why you need it. So, let's get started with CPM. By the way, there are two versions of CPM, but we'll only be using the version called CPM Plus in this course. Hold the CPM Plus disk by the label and slide it into the disk drive on the right hand of your computer. Make sure that side 1 is facing upwards, and slide the disk in until it clicks into place. Stop the tape if you need to. Now, hold down the Shift key and tap the At sign key. It's next to the letter P on the keyboard. You should see a vertical bar appear on the screen, and the cursor moves over one place, ready for the next character. Type in the letters CPM and press return. Your screen display changes. After a while, you get a copyright notice and some information about the system you're using in the top left-hand corner. And the message, drive is A, followed by a colon, in the bottom right-hand corner. You'll see that just below the copyright notice, near the top left of the screen, there's a letter A, followed by an arrowhead pointing to the right. This is CPM's system prompt. It tells you the system is working, and it's prompting you to key something in. It's also telling you CPM will look at drive A unless you instruct it differently. So drive A is known as the default drive. What you've done so far is to load the CPM system into the computer. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you switch on the 6128, it's wired internally to start up ready to accept instructions in BASIC. And that's fine if you want to write a program, or to use one that has been written in BASIC. But many of the jobs you'll want to do don't involve BASIC at all. What we've done now is to hand over the control of the computer to a different system, called CPM, which stands for Control Program for Microcomputers. Your 6128 computer system is made up from a number of different bits. The screen, the keyboard, perhaps a printer, and the computer itself. But they need something extra to coordinate and control how they work together. They need a set of instructions to tell them what to do. Those instructions can be built in, as you saw when you switched on. Or they can be loaded from disk, and that's where CPM comes in. CPM contains a complete list of instructions which coordinate the various parts of the 6128 into a single system. So CPM is a special type of operating program, or more usually, an operating system. The operating system is vitally important because without it, you won't be able to use other programs, like, for example, the TinySoft program supplied in this pack. Incidentally, BASIC and some games programs are exceptions to this rule, and we'll see why later on. Let's take a look at what is supplied on the CPM disk. And to do that, you need to use one of CPM's commands. The A prompt is telling you that it's ready to accept your instructions. Key in the letters DIR and press the Enter key at the bottom right of the keyboard to enter the instructions into the 6128. By the way, you can also use the Return key instead of Enter. The DIR command gives you a list or directory of all the files held on this disk. We'll come back to this later, but for now, look at the directory. A number of files end in the letters .com, including ones called DIR, diskit, rename, erase, and pip. We'll be using all of these and others during the course. Take a closer look at diskit. Notice that the full name is diskit3.com. The com tells you it's a command or program file. You see, CPM is provided with a range of special purpose programs for organizing your work and other tasks. In a moment, we'll be using diskit to prepare and copy disks. But before we do that, I want to show you two useful tips. The first is how to reset the computer. Hold down the keys marked Control and Shift, and then tap the key marked ESC, short for Escape. The screen clears and then displays the same screen as when you switched on, complete with a ready message. In other words, the 6128 has gone back to BASIC. Resetting the computer clears everything in its memory and starts it again from scratch. So that Control, Shift, Escape sequence is very useful if you get completely stuck. You can always reset and start again. The second thing I want to show you is how to make your disks secure. Look at the training disk supplied with this pack. At the top of the disk, you can see a small plastic tab. With your fingertip, gently push the tab into the disk casing until it clicks into place. You'll see you've uncovered a hole right through the disk casing. Do the same for the tab on the other side of the disk. With these holes uncovered, the 6128 can read the information stored on the disk, but it can't change it. So anything stored on it is secure, and you can't erase or overwrite it by mistake. Now press the drive's release button and take the CPM disk out. The holes on the CPM disk should be uncovered. Push the tabs in if you need to, but don't worry if there aren't any. Master disks are often supplied with no tabs, and as long as the holes are showing, the disk is automatically write protected. Okay, put the CPM disk back in the drive now, with side 1 uppermost. So far, we've been using the master copy of the CPM disk. But for day-to-day use, that's not a good idea. Although the disks are very robust, accidents can happen. So you need to make a copy for day-to-day use, and keep the master somewhere safe. You can always make another copy if you need to. So before we go any further, let's make copies of the CPM disk, using one of your blank disks. First, we need to go back to CPM. Hold down the Shift key and tap the At key as you did before. And then type in the letters CPM and press Return. To copy disks, we need to use the Diskit3 program which is on the CPM disk. That's already in the drive, so key in the word Diskit, D-I-S-C-K-I-T, and the number 3, with no spaces. If you make a mistake, Use the delete key just above the return key to move the cursor back, deleting characters as it goes. Then retype the word properly. When you've got it right, press the enter key, or the return key if you like. The 6128 now loads the Diskit program into its memory, ready to use. So for the moment, you don't need the CPM disk in the drive. Take it out now. The display on your screen is a diagram of part of your keyboard. It shows the function keys F0, F1, F4 and F7. You can see the word copy next to the F7 key. That tells you that while you're using Diskit, pressing the key marked F7 will cause the computer to make a copy of a disk. Well, that's what we want, so tap the F7 key now. And press Y to confirm that we do indeed want to copy a disk. You're then asked to insert the disk to read, in other words, the disk you want to copy. That's the master CPM disk. So put that back in the drive now, with side 1 uppermost. And press any key, the spacebar will do, to continue. The 6128 begins to read the contents of that disk into its memory, giving you a running total of the amount it has read. After a while, it asks you to insert the disk you want to write to. Take the CPM disk out, put it to one side, and put in one of your blank disks, with the side marked 1 uppermost again. When you've done that, press the spacebar again to continue. From here on, the 6128 tells you which disk to put in at the right time and which key to press. I'm going to ask you to work through the rest of the process on your own. But before you do that, let me tell you what's going to happen. During the copy process, the computer reads the magnetic patterns on the disk you want to duplicate, track by track, and makes a note of what it finds in its memory. So the disk to read is the master disk. Then it will ask you to take out the master disk and insert a blank disk. The 6128 will then write an exact duplicate copy of what it found onto the blank disk. With a brand new disk, it carries out a formatting process as well, and we'll look at what that means later. The 6128's memory isn't big enough to store the entire contents of a disk in one go, so you will need to repeat the process, reading from the master disk and writing to the new disk. You should now be ready to continue, so replace the CPM disk back in the drive and press the spacebar. In a moment, I'll ask you to stop the tape and work on your own. Follow the screen prompts carefully, but don't worry. If you put the wrong disk or the wrong side in, the 6128 will tell you. And in any case, you've made sure that your master disk is write protected, so you can't do anything disastrous. By the way, don't write protect the new disk, otherwise you won't be able to copy onto it. Stop the tape now and start it again when the 6128 tells you the copy is completed. If you've got the copy complete message still on screen, take the disk out of the drive and tap the spacebar. You are then asked if you want to copy another disk. We don't want to do that yet, so press the spacebar to finish. And finally, press F0 to exit from the program. Well, you've now got a perfect copy of the CPM disk. So put the master disk away somewhere safe, and get your copy of the CPM disk and write on the label CPM working copy. From here on, we'll use the copy, not the original. Stop the tape while you do that. Put your working copy of CPM back in the drive, ready to carry on. By the way, from here on in the tape, I won't always tell you which way up to put the disk. Just remember that the side I tell you to put in should be the uppermost in the drive. Let's reset the 6128 once again and check that your new CPM is working. Hold down the Control and Shift keys and tap Escape. and you should see the familiar startup sequence, just as you did at the start of the session. Once again, we need to get to CPM, so tap Shift and the At key, and then key in CPM and Return. Start the tape again when you've got the CPM A prompt back on the screen. If you haven't got the A prompt, check you've put the disc in the right way round and try again. If you're still stuck, you'll need to replay the last part of the tape. Before we go on, it will be a good idea to make a copy of the training disc. That way, if you do have a disaster, you can always go back to the original and make a fresh copy. You can work through that on your own. Remember that the disc to read is the training disc, and the one to write to is your second blank disc. And you start the process by typing in diskit 3 and return. Don't forget to label a new disc the same as the original. One final thing before you start. The 6128 can use both sides of a disc, and like many software discs you may buy, the training disc has files on both sides. So to make an accurate copy, you'll have to go through the whole process twice to put a copy of the second side of your training disc onto the second side of the new disc. Stop the tape until you've copied both sides of the disc and got the A prompt back on screen. Did you remember to label both sides of the new disc? Okay, let's continue. If you haven't exited from Diskit, do so now. Put your master CPM and real-time discs to one side, and use the new copies for the rest of this course. It's important to realize there are two different aspects to CPM. There are the operating systems, which you've just used to reset the 6128, and there are the CPM commands, or programs, like Diskit and DIR. The CPM operating system is there to coordinate and control the different parts of the 6128, and to allow you to run other types of specialized software. The CPM commands are there to help you control a range of day-to-day activities, such as keeping track of your disks and what's on them, creating new disks as old ones fill up or go out of date. In short, activities that are to do with organizing your work or housekeeping. Let's take a closer look at what the CPM disk contains. You already have the A prompt on screen, so key in the letters DIR and press return, as you did earlier. Once again, you get a directory of what's on your CPM system disk, because that's the disk that happens to be in the drive. They're nearly all program files, like the Diskit command program you've just used. Notice that the file names are made up of two parts. The first part, the title, can be up to 8 characters in length. It can incorporate letters, numbers, and some of the special symbols, but not all. You can't use an asterisk, a question mark, or a full stop as part of the title. The asterisk and the question mark have a special significance for CPM, as we'll see later on. And the full stop or dot has a specific job to do. It marks the end of the file title if you intend to use the second part of the file name. With CPM, you can add a full stop and then 3 code letters or symbols to the file title to signify the type of information held in the file. For example, a file called jones.let might hold an original letter to Mr. Jones, and jones.bak might be a backup copy of the same letter. When you come to name files, you don't have to use both parts if you don't want to. So if you want to call a file just Jones and then nothing else, you don't need the full stop at all. You'll notice that most of the file names on screen now end in the file name COM. That tells you they're command files, programs that CPM will run for you if you simply key in the file title, the first part of the file name, as you did with Diskit. The full name of that file is diskit3.com. You'll also see another file called something like c10cpm3.ems. As you might expect from its name, that's the file containing the CPM system itself. Notice the file extension is .ems. It is a program file, but it's not like the other CPM command files. We'll come back to this later in the course. On the far left of the directory, you'll see a column which has the letter A and a colon in each line. That's to let you know you're looking at a directory of the disk in drive A. When you start your system, CPM automatically assumes you want to work with drive A by default, and you get a notice at the bottom right of the screen telling you that drive A is the active drive. Strictly speaking, as far as CPM is concerned, all the files on this disk are called A colon something. If you have a disk for drive B, the files on it would all be called B colon something. If you fit a second drive to your computer, it will be drive B, and the next part will be very simple. But at the moment, your machine probably only has the standard single drive, which is drive A. However, CPM will let you do a useful trick, and that is to treat this drive as if it was a second drive, drive B. I'll show you what I mean. Key in DIR, followed by a space, then the letter B, followed by a colon, and press return. On a 6128 with the single drive, the machine beeps, and a message appears at the bottom of the screen. Please put the disk with B into the drive, then press any key. Take the CPM disk out and put in your new training disk. And now press the space bar. This command has given you a list of the files on the training disk, all called B colon something. The prompt is still A, so CPM will still assume you want to work on drive A in default of any other specific instruction. But notice that according to the bottom of the screen, the active drive is drive B. As far as CPM is concerned, the disk drive is now called drive B. It's easy to change the default setting. Just key in the letter B and a colon and press return. And you can see that instead of the A prompt, you've now got a B prompt. So all your commands will now take effect at the B drive. Try it. Key in DIR on its own and press return. You get the same directory display for drive B. Now try DIR space A colon and return. Once again, if you need to, swap the disks and put the CPM disk into the drive. Then tap the space bar and you get the directory for drive A. So, DIR on its own looks at the default drive. But the 6128 will always remind you which disk you're supposed to have in by telling you whether the active drive is A or B. If you don't want CPM to look at the default drive, you'll have to specify which drive you want, for example, DIR A colon. If you're feeling confused by all this, don't worry. It'll make much more sense when we start to use the drives for real. Now, look at the directory for drive A, and you'll see a file called dir.com. But we've just used the dir command from the B drive, even though dir.com is on the A drive. Now that's possible because the dir command exists in two forms. The one we've used so far is the short form, and it's permanently built into the CPM system. So it's always available, even though it doesn't show on the directory for the disk in the default drive. The dir.com you can see on drive A is the full version, which offers a range of options as you'll see in a moment. Some of the other CPM commands also exist in two versions, for example erase and rename. But others, diskit for example, are only available if you load them from disk. Let's take a look at some of the other things you can do with DIR. It's easiest if you change the default drive. So type in the letter A and a colon and return to get back to the A prompt. So far you've been using DIR to find out which files are on a disk. That's only part of the information you need. Quite often you'll want to know how big a file is, or all of the files are. Key in DIR, then a space, then an opening square bracket, that's just next to the return key, then the word size, then a closing square bracket, and press return. And you get a different sort of directory. The file names are all there, but now each one has a number and the letter K after it as well. That's the size of the file in bytes, B-Y-T-E-S. Think of a byte as a character, a number, a letter, a space, or a symbol. The K stands for kilo, or 1,000. It's actually just over 1,000, but it's near enough. So each file on that disk is so many 1,000 characters in size. Now try this one. DIR, space, an asterisk, that's the shifted colon key, then a full stop or dot, then the letters C-O-M. Press return, and you get what looks like an ordinary directory, except if you look again, you'll see that all the file names end in the letters C-O-M. In the next session, we'll have a closer look at what that asterisk means, but for the moment, just accept that the command as it stands means look at the default drive and give me a directory of files called something.com. Okay, so you know how to find out which files are on a disk, and you know how to find out how big they are. But there's a key bit of information still missing. How much free space is left on the disk? Now, you could work that out by taking the total space used by the files and subtracting that from the total capacity of the disk. But there's an easier way. You can get CBM to show you how much space is left. Key in the word show, S-H-O-W, and press return. And there you are, the amount of space left on the disk. So far in this session, you've had a go at using the CPM operating system to help you do some simple housekeeping tasks. So I want to run over some of the key points we've covered to draw some of the loose ends together. The first general point we established was never use the master copies of your disks for day-to-day work. Make a safety or backup copy and use that. And you've seen how to use Diskit to do just that. The next general point was that you have to load the CPM system before you can do any useful work. You can tell when you're ready to start work because you'll have the A prompt and a cursor on screen. The A prompt tells you the computer is waiting for you to key in a command. You've tried out the commands for getting directories of your various disks to find out which files are on them. You've seen the file naming conventions, and you've used variants of the DIR command to find out the sizes of various files, as well as seeing how to exclude certain files from the listings. Finally, you saw how to get CPM to show you how much free space is left on a disk. In the next session, we'll move on to look at a range of other activities which will put you firmly in control of the way your computer system works. In a moment, I want you to wind this tape onto the end and turn it over, ready to start session 2. In the meantime, take your copy of the CPM disk out of the drive and turn the computer off. Incidentally, never turn your computer on or off with a disk in the drive. The surge of electricity might damage the disk. Okay, wind this tape onto the end and be sure to take a break before you start the next session. Bye for now.